श्री राधा माधवा पुण्य विहारे गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरीवर गोपीजन वल्लभा गिरीवर सोजानन्दन रज जनरञ्जन सोजानन्दन रज जनरञ्जन चामुनतीरावन चारे चामुनतीरावन चारे राधा कन्या बिहारी राधा माधव कन्या बिहारी गोपीजन वल्लभा गिरीवर गोपीजन वल्लभा गिरीवर यशोदानन्दन प्रजा जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन प्रजा जनरञ्जन चमुनतीरावनचारी जया राधा माधव पुण्य विहारे राधा माधव पुण्य विहारे राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर राधे राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर राधे जय गौर निताय जय गौर निताय 空みたい。Prabhupada, Prabhupada, 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 Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Please repeat. Tasmat. Now we come to the translation. Therefore, with one pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. With one pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember, and worship. If realization of the absolute truth is the ultimate aim of life, it must be carried out by all means. And any one of the above-mentioned castes and orders of life, the four processes, namely glorifying, hearing, remembering, and worshipping, are general occupations. Without these principles of life, no one can exist. Activities of the living being involve engagement in these four different principles of life. Especially in modern society, all activities are more or less dependent on hearing and glorifying. Any man from any social status becomes a well-known man in human society within a very short time if he is simply glorified truly or falsely in the daily newspapers. Sometimes political leaders of a particular party are also advertised by newspaper propaganda, and by such a method of glorification, an insignificant man becomes an important man within no time. But such propaganda by false glorification of an unqualified person cannot bring about any good, either for the particular man or for the society. There may be some temporary reactions to such propaganda, but there are no permanent effects. Therefore, such activities are a waste of time. The actual object of glorification is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has created everything manifested before us. We have broadly discussed this fact from the beginning of the Janmadhyasya Shloka of this Bhagavatam. You have a book, Radha Kripa, or you just... The tendency to glorify others or hear others must be turned to the real object of glorification, the Supreme Being, and that will bring happiness. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda
Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. No, yes, Atma Bhu is also in our scientific research group. How is it outside? Still a little cold? So we wait a little bit more. Yeah.
I need to be here because of Kito
Simeon. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The father and mother of Goh Nithai are well engaged by their son. Nice. It is very interesting that Srila Prabhupada says that these four activities, which are usually really associated only to religious activity, are always found in human society, because it's a need for the human being, an actual need to express himself in these four ways. That is, he must hear, he must glorify, he must puja dhyaya, he must meditate or remember, and finally he must do some puja, some worship. Please think for a moment. Isn't it like this in your life also? You need to glorify someone, speak about someone. Oh, here it is. You need to hear something. You need to remember. And you need to worship. They're very interesting. I have found out, for instance, in my life, when I have a very, very, very busy day, just extremely busy, means always outgoing, preaching, traveling somewhere, talking on the telephone, reading emails, and so on, that at the end of the day, I'd have a need which is as strong as the need for food, to just read something, to think something, and so on. And then I usually turn to the books, or what I do, since I have gotten a new songbook, I will just open the songbook and sing one song in where I glorify Lord Krishna and think about the song, and then I go to bed and happily fall asleep. I've noted what Prabhupada says here is an actual fact. There is a need in us to hear and to glorify and to meditate and to do worship. Maybe you think when you hear this, well, I really don't feel such a need in my life. You must know that there are conscious needs and atrophied needs. What is atrophied?
As opposed to, I think something which is neglected.
Yeah, which is neglected. Yeah, yeah. When the muscle is neglected, that's a good example. He may become inactive, and he may become very thin, and you may not even know that you have such muscles. But as you go back into exercising the muscle will come back and will be there. I think those devotees who have done some, who had some contact with our Bali Sadacha has maybe massaged you And you didn't even know that there's something on your bones, but when he presses it, you know there are some nerves. I thought I had no nerves here, but no, now I know there are nerves and there are muscles and so on. Or let us say when you go in the kirtan and you dance so much, then you notice, whoops, your muscles, never thought about my muscles. They have maybe been neglected, but by the exercise they come up again and they are there. So in the same way, it may be that some of us have for a long time not really exercised this idea of hearing and then glorifying meditating about something and worshipping Krishna. But you will see, when you do it, it feels really nice. And you notice it's a need in my life. I think those of you who have some contact with puja, notice when you, after some time, when you're a little bit familiar with what you have to do, how many circles you have to turn, you feel it is actually a need for you to do some puja. I think Liliana will know this, isn't it? It is a natural expression of an actual need which is there in the heart. We need this as human beings, to worship. I have seen this very, very much in the case of, you know, when young Europeans come to Krishna consciousness, they have never thought, for instance, of paying obeisances. And very intelligent, proud people, you know, they see the obeisances and they think, I never could do this, really. You might have felt this yourself when you were for the first time seeing how someone paid an obeisance to someone else. Wasn't it shocking for you in the very beginning? What are they doing here? Malva Muni, I was totally shocked. I thought, I was so shocked that my intelligence looked for other explanation. It can't be that they make obeisances. I think, this was my thing, that they carry in this little bag some important medicine, and because the medicine has fallen on the ground, therefore they go now to the ground to search for the medicine which is lost out of their bag. This must be the reason why they go with their head like a vacuum cleaner on the floor. This was my intellectual explanation to explain the impossible away that they were making obeisances. And after some time, when you really feel in your heart respect, you feel so happy, here are these beautiful deities, they really come from the other side of world, birth and death, they are not members of our little life. You feel, let me pay my obeisances, very good, this will be my best obeisances. Or when you see a devotee whom you really like, you want to go down on your knees and you are not satisfied unless you touch with your forehead the ground. Have you noticed? And it's, if you think about it from the perspective of Western culture, it's really something extraordinary. It is not done commonly. It may be done when you want to torture someone, you know. Get down on your knees and touch with your forehead the ground, you know. Maybe in concentration camps it's done. I do not know. So there is an atrophied need. How did you say it again? That is in the, like an atrophied muscle, this needs to come forward. This needs to be trained so that it can function again. Because you will know from psychology and from your own life, if there is actually a need and you suppress it, it's not good for you. You develop some problem in your head after some time. So these four things Prabhupada makes it very clear in his purport, and actually it's already in the text very clear. They must be pointed towards Krishna, the protector of the devotees. It's a very important that we learn to concentrate this on Krishna. Here's one devotee, our actor from Sarajevo, Haribo. You sit in the tent, and it is Saturday morning, and you are in the Bhagavatam class, actually. And the Bhagavatam verse makes a very important point for you, for all of us, that we must learn to do these four activities in relationship to Krishna. We must glorify Krishna. We must first hear about Krishna. Every day, we must glorify Krishna. We must meditate and remember Krishna. And we must do something to worship Krishna. It is my deep request to all of you that you note this down in your notebook, if you have a notebook, and that you every day think how to put this into practice. Hear about Krishna, glorify him. This can mean that you preach to someone about Krishna. Krishna is so wonderful, my dear devotees. Krishna is so this, and he's controlled by love. Did you know this? He's in the hearts of everyone. You know, you glorify him a little, then you meditate about Krishna. Maybe you think of Krishna in Vrindavan, as he is described in the Krishna book, when he wanders on the banks of the river Yamuna, and he has a blue flower over one of his ears, and sometimes he feels, oh, it's now so long that this flower is on the left ear, I will put it now on the right ear, and he changes the position of the flower. You can think like this about Lord Krishna and remember him like this. And finally, you should do something in worship of Krishna. Either you should do some deity worship, or you should what I have done for many years, every morning when I was doing my little morning program, I had a nice picture of nice deities which I liked very much, and I waved just one incense before them. Why not try this, Nakshatri? You may think, well, I'm not such a pujari, Maharaj, it's all right. I'm more a practical man. But it is nice to try. And maybe you will see what millions of people have seen throughout the years, that an atrophied need becomes satisfied. Almost like a muscle which was not trained for so long and which now gets strong and which takes care that you are healthy. Yes. Would you like to try this? What do you think, God, if you don't mind? It's some spiritual training, and I feel we need to do some spiritual training, spiritual fitness training. Yes. Everyone talks of fitness. We also talk of fitness, spiritual fitness training. I want to now give my lecture a certain bend in concentration. Mm. See, there is a very nice scene described in the Bhagavatam, which I would like everyone to meditate about this. It was in the year so and so. I always forget the years in my life. Where we decided to go to Badrinath. Let me ask our Himalaya pilgrims. You have been to Badrinath? Someone has? Who has been to Badrinath? Oh, several of you. Bane? No Badrinath. Scandal. When you go up to Badrinath, you have to walk 4 more kilometers. It's a lovely little walk next to a nice river, and then you come to, oh, maybe someone can help me. Mana. Mana? Yeah. Mane or mana? Man. Kishori says man. And then you sit down for a while because you're a little out of breath, so high. Then after you have sat down for a while, you go to Vyasadeva's cave. It's a beautiful cave. And it's very interesting that the stone above the entrance of the cave looks like an old book. Have you noticed it? It really, with pages. It looks like a book which has somehow become a stony book. I think everyone has seen some photos from our pilgrims. I have some part of this stone book in Karuna Bhavan because I think it's like comes from Vyasadeva's Bhagavatam. Because the book, the entrance really looks like a Bhagavatam. You seem to enter into the Bhagavatam. Yes, and it was at this area where Srila Vyasadeva, one morning, sat down. He controlled his mind, and with devotion in his heart, he had a very amazing realization. He sat on the bank of this very beautiful river Saraswati, which is flowing there. Now what you see of the Saraswati, if you walk a little beyond Vyasadeva's cage, and then you somehow, I forgot exactly, you have to walk near this one cave of one hermit, and then you go, and then you are on something like a bridge, and then you see the Saraswati coming before you out of the rocks. Very nice. It really looks amazing and very, very powerful. And just to look at it, you become purified of all anattas. What to speak of staying there for a long time. So Vyasadeva was in this sacred area where he meditated on the bank of the river Saraswati. And do you know what he saw? All of a sudden, he saw the Supreme Lord, Krishna. He saw Krishna's Maya. And then he saw the individual living entity. And he saw also how the living entity is bound by the material energy. But then he all of a sudden had a realization that the living entity can free himself of the influence of Maya by practicing devotion. Do you now I have a question for you. how did Vyasadeva have this amazing realization to see the whole existence, Krishna, Krishna's Maya, and the living entity in Maya's control? Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a very beautiful explanation. He said, Vyasadeva was actually chanting japa at the bank of the river Sarasvati. And when he chanted japa, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Yama Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna manifested from the japa. And then he saw Krishna's energy, Maya, and the Jiva Bicha, the living entity. I once had such a little realization in the Himalayas. I was chanting also, and all of a sudden the mountain before me started to move. I thought, what? Have I seen this correctly? Where is my reading glasses? And the mountain was actually moving. And at that moment I understood that I had seen the energy of Krishna. Just for a little while I could see that what we think is so firm, I mean this Serbian Vyasa-san is not very firm, but you know, what we think is immovable. What is immovable here? I mean, we are in Serbia, everything is movable. the ground is, you know, it is actually energy. It is energy. Krishna's material energy. And for the first time, my dear devotees, it's difficult for me to tell you this, I saw what it means to be a soul just surrounded by material energy and moved by the energy, almost like a leaf which is moved by the flow of a raging river. This is possible, this realization, to see yourself and to see actually Krishna, to see yourself in the material energy and to see Krishna by the power of the holy name. Because we hear that Krishna and his name are identical, the holy name can reveal truths to you just like Krishna can reveal truth to you. And the greatest truth is obviously to understand how Krishna is identical with the holy name. This brings us to a very interesting subject matter. How from sound a form can actually come. Now I want to make a little experiment for you, with you now. Let us see who will stay awake. Maybe we will lose 50% of the audience, but the rest of the other 50% will have a wonderful time. So we will concentrate on half of our audience now. Please sit properly. Close your eyes and breathe in a couple of times deep and breathe out deep. Do back. Now I will tell you different words and you should allow pictures to come. The moon in the night sky. Please try to see in your mind's eye the moon in the night sky. Whenever I say something, try to see the picture. Yes? Oops. The beautiful swimming pool before our tent. Please see also the border of the swimming pool. Does it have a certain color? A pizza with caperis. Made in Bosnia by Aida. Only a few can see this pizza. The beautiful new painting of Srimati Radharani. This is very difficult. The tent from outside. What are the colors? Your own face in the morning when you look into the mirror. Not always extremely encouraging, I know. Now try to see Radha Syam Sundar in our chatra, our tent. How do they look? What is their outfit? Is it white? Green? Or rose pink? Thank you very much. When you are comfortable, please open your eyes again. I think this simple exercise, of course we are a little tired, I know, but in the morning, but it can show you how from sound a form can come. So if you learn to chant Krishna's holy name and concentrate on Krishna's holy name, Natalia, a form of Krishna will come in your mind. Yes. Please do not doubt this. You may say, no, no, Guru Maharaj, this will not happen with me. I'm an ordinary osoba. Once Vishnu Janan. Who knows Vishnu Janan? I think you have heard about him. Beautiful singer. He asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, when we are chanting our rounds or while we are chanting out loud in kirtan, is it all right to engage our mind in thinking something? Prabhupada, is it not all right? Vishnu Janan. Ah, you mean to say the mind is already thinking of something. Prabhupada says, if you do not engage your mind, then the chanting will force you to engage your mind. You see, the Krishna sound will by force bring your mind to Krishna. Chanting is so nice. And this is the practical yoga in this age. You cannot meditate. Your mind is so disturbed. You cannot concentrate your mind. Therefore chant, and by the sound vibration, it will forcibly enter into your mind. Even if you don't want Krishna, Krishna will enter within your mind. By force. This is the easiest process. You don't require to endeavor. Krishna is coming. Yesterday one devotee told me something which I knew all the while, but I wanted him to understand it himself. He said, I actually, in the beginning when I came to Krishna consciousness, I didn't want Krishna. I just didn't want Krishna. But Krishna seemed to have wanted me. The full explanation is like this. In the beginning, because we are covered by anattas, we really do not like Krishna. Our heart is filled with something else, something other than Krishna. But If you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna will by force enter your life and your heart and will do something with you. Is this also your experience, Venurati? It is also my experience. I want to show you a little bit more how the heart works. One, two, three. I'm in Bali's treatment, you know, every muscle just pains. Hare Krishna. So this filling the heart can be done if you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, because from the sound of Lord Krishna's holy name, Krishna will come. And Vyasadeva's realization up in the Himalayas is a very good proof for this. I would like to now, at the end, give you 6 simple rules for improving your japa, which are very helpful. And afterwards, because today is Lord Vamanadev's appearance day, I will talk about this leela in the evening. Afterwards we will chant together here in the tent in nice Krishna consciousness. Yes, is this a good idea? So I will give you now 6 simple rules, and you can try to apply them as we chant. The first 3 rules are for those who are practical, like Nakshatri, Madhva Muni, Gaurahari is extremely practical also. And the third, the next 3 sets are for those who are also practical, but who want to go, I've expressed it a little wrongly. I wanted to say they are very concrete, the first 3 rules, because many of us, when we approach spiritual life, we want something very concrete. And the next set of 3 rules are more, let me say, you will have to work more inside of you. Yes, this is a good way to express it. The first 3 you have to work outside of you, which is for some of us easier. And the next set of 3 are to work inside of you. Yeah. So here we go. The first rule is, if you want to have a good chanting yoga exercise, you must actually prepare. It's almost like, I think Mataji Mathura Kishori will know, and Bali, from Bali Satacha, if you want to move the body in a very fast way, I believe, you need to have some warm-up exercise. Is this correct, Mathura Kishori? Absolutely. Otherwise, you get a grisham. Yes. Yeah. And you have pains and so on. You need to walk up. Is this also true when you dance, Venurati? You must do it, or?
Yeah, I have to do it. Otherwise, I'm not able to do anything. Just the pain and
really?
Struggle to dance.
Yes. Sadhu Darshan, we have something very practical. When you work, when you want to do the some heavy bodily activity, maybe some. You must first warm up the body. Is your experience also? Yes. So if you want to have a good bhakti yoga chant experience, you must prepare yourself. I think many of the devotees ignore this fact. They just get up from sleep, chant, and go to sleep again. Have you noticed? Yeah. They have not prepared themselves. There was no warm-up before. And that's why they don't experience anything. So, prepare for for preparing yourself to chant nicely, you have to make physical preparations, which is you really have to sleep enough before. If you're tired, it just doesn't work. It's too difficult to concentrate the mind. And you have to see that in the evening you don't take any heavy food, you know, like really a heavy feast where you are really weighed down. If you want to sit down and you have so much heavy food in yourself, it how will it work? Is it just Atma Bhu shaking his head? It will not work. It will not work. So you must know if you chant, you know, if you want to have a good experience, enough sleep and no heavy food which is undigested. But the more important thing is, you must prepare mentally. Do you sometimes know when you have not chanted your rounds in the morning for some reason, and then you sit down to chant, the mind actually doesn't want to chant? Have you noticed this? You do a million things, like wasting your time for 4 hours before you finally say, okay, if I don't chant now, I will not get my 16 rounds done. And it's high time that I get my 16 rounds done, now or never. I don't care any longer for you, my dear mind. You can go and hang yourself on the next tree. I don't mind. I would be happy. We will chant now. But you have wasted 4 hours before it came. You did this. You made some unimportant SMS message or phone call or some. So mentally, sometimes we need to prepare our mind. The way it is done I'm now writing my Gayatri book, and I'm describing these things also there. It is the Gayatri. When you chant the Gayatri, you should breathe. There are also many. There's a Vishnu Mudra, I understand. Anyways, I don't want to go too much in the detail, because then a new fashion will start in Serbia. What I really do, what is really recommended in our tradition, is you fix in your mind a sankalpa. Sankalpa is an intention, that I want to chant good rounds now. You have to somehow put it in your mind, almost like an invisible stamp. You have to program your mind like this. This is called a sankalpa. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami speaks about this in one purport. Before you chant Gayatri Japa, you must fix the sankalpa in your mind. If there is no intention, then it's purposeless chanting. Why do you chant? What is your intention? You know, like, I really want to listen. I really want to now offer my japa as my devotional service to Krishna. I want to fulfill my initiation vows. This is also a good intention. You know, it's very important to have some intention in there. I know these are little. This is the mental preparation. What also other devotees do when they find that their mind is totally unwilling or uncooperative, they read a little in the scriptures. I always, when I can't chant, I read a song that works for me. I like to sing somehow or other, although I can't sing, but it doesn't matter. And so on. Then the second, this was prepare, physically and mentally. Second rule, are you with me?
Yes.
Good. You must fix up a proper time for chanting. I sometimes feel that devotees never think that they need 2 hours a day for japa. And we don't plan these 2 hours. And then we do our japa a little bit in between. Here a little bit, there a little bit, there a little bit. And of course, because it's not planned nicely, you don't have nice 2 hours. You have just space out 2 hours, distributed over the space of 24 hours. You anyways have to chant 2 hours a day, Bhakti Devi. Or maybe as a mother, Bhakti Devi goes, how is it possible? A mother has her mother japa, her mother standard of japa. Whatever it is you need for chanting, you anyways do not have this time for other things. Now it's purely mathematical what I want to suggest to you. You need to plan in your days these two hours. The best is, as Gaura Shiromani has said, when he said what is a good way to increase our spiritual circle, is to take these 2 hours in one stretch and chant without interruption. I must tell you this, yesterday I didn't do it. But today I thought I will preach to the devotees and I need to do what I will preach about. So I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning. This was my only glorious day in this week. I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning and then I chanted from 3 to 5 o'clock. It was the best time on this tour for me. I was in Croatia, everywhere I was. But today I will write a note in my diary and say, this was my best time in this year. I'm still a little tired, but it does matter. I'm prepared to be tired like a dog if I can just chant nicely the rounds. So this, what I want to tell you is, my dear devotees, you need the 2 hours anyways. Why not plan them at a time which is nice, where it works, where you feel inspired? Do you see my logic? It's a mathematical argument. It's very practical. You may say, no, but see, I have to do something. I will chant some rounds in the car. But in the car you could also do other things. Like a car driving is good time to speak important discussions, or you can make with a handy mobile phone. You can phone in the, you can have your office in the car and do all your phone calls in the car with your Andy. Yes. Yes. Then it's good to have a nice place for chanting, a sattvic environment. The best is if you have a tulasi or a picture of a tulasi. You can maybe be with devotees and you can also sometimes chant when you are in absolute solitude. There's no one in the room. You are all alone. And then you can be with Krishna very good. So this place is very good. And I would like to recommend you. You are living here in Serbia, in your different apartments. Why not make a spiritual corner in your apartment? Just in your room, like a nice altar, have a nice sitting place, a baitak, where you sit every day when you do your japa, and just spiritual, build up a spiritual atmosphere, and so on. I think it would be wonderful. You can also do what, you can chant before Haridas Thakur. You can make a photo of Muni's Haridas Thakur. Muni, we call Muni, eh? Muni, Madhva Muni. And have a photo of him. He can expand himself in millions of forms. You can pray to Haridas Thakur. You are the Acharya of chanting. Please give my chanting a little substance. And then, posture. Sit straight. This is the second, still the second. Time, place, and posture. Time, place, and posture. Now we go to something which is a little bit between practical arrangements and inner arrangements. It's concentration. I'm still listing concentration at the place where I have practical arrangements, because you can concentrate with a simple mechanical exercise. Whenever you catch your mind going somewhere, you can just pull it back. Are you accustomed to do this exercise? Maybe some of you are very much under the control of the mind and they never have thought to control the mind. But it is very easily possible when you think something, and while you're thinking of it, you think it's some glupost. Then you just bring it back. I think we all have experiences when in our mind a sexual image comes and we feel, what are you doing here? This is not for this. Go to Belgrade, you know. And you just bring your mind back and say, "This, I don't want to think of this now. I want to think, well," and you fix it on a nice strawberry maybe. Something more sattvic, or you fix the mind don't go to this, but you must give the mind something to work, otherwise it doesn't work. So pull the mind back and bring it somewhere else. Those of you who have been in the last summer camp have done with me the Traktaka meditation. This is a very good way to bring the mind back. Then the fourth is, when you chant, now it gets very intense, meditate about the meaning of the holy name. Oh yeah. Would you like to know something from Bhajan Rahasya? You meditate. The Supreme Lord is known as Hari because he takes away the nations of his devotees by revealing to them his actual nature and personal spiritual form. And Radharani is also known as Hari because she steals Krishna's mind and because she is the incarnation of Krishna's joy. I will read Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is easier to follow. The Supreme Lord is the concentrated form of spiritual bliss. He has descended into the world as the holy name. This is a fact. Because he takes away ignorance, he has been named Hari. And thus one crosses over the material ocean by chanting Hare Krishna. Yeah. Radharani is the personification of the Lord's pleasure potency. Because she steals Lord Krishna's mind, she has been given the name Hara. The names Radha Krishna are together the full form of eternity, knowledge and when we chant Hare Krishna, we indicate the divine couple Radha and Krishna. You know everything. Radha is the embodiment of bliss and Krishna is her eternal husband. The lotus-eyed blue lord desires nothing but the pleasure of Srimati Radharani. Very good. Krishna is the son of Nanda and the joy of Gokula. He rejoices in the company of Srimati Radharani and is always eager to be with her. He is most expert in his romantic dealings. He is the embodiment of the pleasure principle and master of the divine pastimes. He is also known as Rama because he brings pleasure to Radha. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra thus consists of the names of the divine couple. So while chanting, think constantly of their activities. Non-stop. Yes. So if you feel, I feel I'm not yet qualified to think constantly about the activities of the Lord and of Radharani, I think a very good way which Prabhupada has taught us, and this is what I really want to recommend you, is to think of Radha and Krishna in a way where you request them to be engaged in their service. This will help you very much to feel transcendental ecstasy while chanting. If you just chant words, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, but you don't meditate about Radha and Krishna and being engaged in their service, then you will not experience the real benefit of chanting. The next thing is fifth, the mood. Practice in your life the motive Trinadapi Sanichina. Be more humble than the straw in the street, more tolerant than the tree, and so on. And when you chant, learn to call out for Krishna. Ayinanda tanuya kinkarang patitang mam vishame bhavambhuryo kripaya tava pada pankaja stita duli sadrisham vichintaya. My Lord, somehow I have fallen into this ocean of birth and death. Now be causelessly merciful to me and lift me to your lotus feet. And if you want to know, I can't give this to you now. There is a very nice meditation when chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. A meditation which is written in the Sanat Kumar Sanghita. In brief, you go with your mind to Vrindavan. You can do this by crossing out of the material universe, going through the layers, going through Brahman, and then see in Brahman, the beautiful Goloka Vrindavan planet. And then you come closer, you see a Kalpa Vriksha tree, and under the Kalpa Vriksha tree, Radha and Krishna. Krishna holds his flute. Radharani is very pleasing, and there are the gopis and the cows. This is how to meditate, but I just want to say it to those, because some of you might hear this tape in 10 years and then they will be ready. Yes, I want to do this. So it's for you in 10 years or whenever you feel inspired to go in this direction. Yes. Hare Krishna. This is what I wanted to tell to you. Should I just quickly summarize it? Prepare yourself physically and mentally. Look for the proper time, place and posture. Concentrate by pulling your mind back. Meditate about the meaning of the holy name. And practice Trinadapi and calling out for Krishna. then you can also go into meditation. Hare Krishna. So I have now an idea. I will go. I think we should all go out now, and I will show you some very nice yoga exercises, which everyone can do. It's very pleasurable to get some energy, physical energy. This is in the department of preparation. We will actually prepare ourselves, and then we will come back fully energized. I can guarantee you, you will all walk about 10 centimeters over the ground, so much energy is there, and then we will sit down and chant together. Is this a good idea?
Yes.
Thank you. But please, all of, I know some of you have never done yoga and they think this is not so necessary in life. It's really very potent. I showed the brahmacharis in India, and they were totally ecstatic. They said, finally we know how to not fall asleep when we do japa. So that's very good. It can be done by men and by women. So we will go in the sunshine in this part of the tent. Yeah, in this part of the of the life. Srila Prabhupada ki! So nice, huh? Especially when it's not raining, when it's not too cold, when it's not winter, when there are no mosquitoes, when there are no cars coming by, when there is no environmental pollution. And I think by now you know, even nature is not a safe place in Kali Yuga any longer. Okay, let us sing a little bit. With our hearts open for Lord Krishna. What have we not sung?
I really feel Vrindavan. We didn't sing yet.
Yeah.
Govinda.
Govinda. Yeah. Let us try this, please. Krishna Govinda, Govinda, Gopala.